you having an unnatural allegiance to losers is not like you.
No, I ain't got.
You having an unnatural allegiance to losers. Well, we went over here, baby. It's 2024. It's the True Tone Show. We back for another season. Great interviews, great conversation, great questions. Are you ready to be motivated on your day? Yeah! We back. Whew. We back. It feels good. I took a little hiatus, a little sabbatical-y. Just making up words. Yeah, I do that. I make up words. This is a quick intro. Let me hurry up. And I'm going to talk about Believe, the interview, the 50th episode, which was a big interview. People love that interview. People love him. People love the conversation. It was a great conversation. I'm going to do a little recap. Then I'm going to talk about Cadillac Cat Williams. We're going to talk about his interview with Shannon Sharp. Then I'm going to talk about the Cleveland Browns because I got Browns fans. I want to talk about what happened with that. Then I'm going to talk about the Truest Tone. Okay, I got a question for you. Then we're going to do that, right? Right? Okay, okay. Sounds good. Stick around. Thanks for joining. I appreciate you. Let's do this ride again. One. Okay, I tried to do that. I'm trying to do some acting. I don't know. Just whatever. I'm excited. Are you... Woo, I'm going through it right now. Hopefully you don't get stressed out by me and my intros. But anyway, let's do the thing. Hi, I'm Amante Hall, and you're listening to The True Tone Show, where I interview people in their truth and have conversation in tone. I'll see you guys on another start. Other side, let's get it. Back 2024 and we back 2024. I'm glad you made it. I didn't fall down any stairs. I didn't get hurt. I'm a little under the weather, but you probably can't tell because your boy is using that adrenaline. But it's cool, man. I feel great. It was a nice little break. Hopefully you guys took some time away with your families. You enjoyed the holiday. You did some popping the champies. The champies. That's the champagne, by the way. If you haven't noticed by listening to the show, I do make up words, but they make sense sometimes. Sometimes they're not funny. Sometimes I'm not funny. Who cares? A comedian doesn't get home runs every single time unless you're Dave Chappelle. Okay? Or you're Cat Williams and you just break the glass. Fire, fire. And you pull that out. Hey, I'm telling truth. Wait, no, this is a fire. Let me burn it out with truth. Okay. So I want to jump right in. These next couple episodes are probably just going to be me. Hopefully you like me though. You know, don't just come around for the interviews. That's disrespectful. I'm a brand too. I'm important too. Amante matters too. Okay. So with that being said, let's hop right in. Glenn Henry, Belief in Fatherhood. Great, great episode. A massive get to have him on the show to talk. Probably a very underrated episode, very underrated conversation, very needed, pointed conversation to be had with Belief. We talked about family. We talked about respecting your kids. We talked about, the business. He's a very popular, powerful YouTuber in the game right now. Tons of, partnerships and deals that he's been able to get done with his work ethic. And staying in it so long, being one of the, I guess, the grandfathers of YouTube, which is a pretty cool thing. So I got to talk to him. He's doing his new venture, Frank Puppet. And I wanted to bring him on for that. That's why he came on to talk about it. And I'm going to let him promote it. I'll play a quick clip and then let you guys listen to that.
Essentially, we're making a kid show. We're making a kid show where the black puppet is the center of this show for now. And Frank is the ice cream man. He comes to the community. He makes a difference. He solves some problems. He does good work. And he lives in a world where people are disconnected. You know, think COVID. Think I'm scared of my neighbors. Think I don't want to get to know anybody because it's scary, right? And he lives in this world, and he comes into the community, and inside of his, you know, ice cream truck is like a, it's like magic. You know, the other puppets are ice cream flavors, and they all have different moves and attitudes and stuff like that.
Yeah, and here's the thing. That's some really amazing stuff. He's doing his new venture, Frank Puppet, and he's trying to bring healthy entertainment to children. And, you know, obviously adults are going to watch it if they got kids. They'll probably be watching it with their kids if they fall in love with the show. And Glenn's doing some great stuff. I'm excited for that. The clips are coming out. You guys can obviously donate. That was also in the last show's description. If you want to check it out, I could put it again in this description. But the most important thing about parenting, and one of the most important things, is being an example, right? And being an example is tough. It's not easy. And sometimes you have to kind of, the cliche word is die to yourself or lay down when you're wrong. And he talked about apologizing to your kids, which is critical. And it's an underrated thing, and I wanted to kind of talk about it.
And like, where it's like emotionally toxic for our children. But if you could just say, hey, you know what? I yelled at you. I shouldn't have did that. I'm sorry. I called you that. I shouldn't have did that. I'm sorry. And I overreacted, buddy. You deserve better than that. I'm sorry. I'll try harder. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
you.
Easy.
I forgive you.
You're right. It gives you a backstage pass to humility, right? And children are extremely forgiving.
Yes. Yeah. I think people want to be too as well, not just children, you know? I think in theory people, but they haven't practiced it well. And I know that sounds. Yeah. And the truth about forgiveness, and, you know, people will say it doesn't work, and yeah, it does. It leaves a hook in you, and it pulls you along on this emotional roller coaster wherever whenever you see that person, it pulls on you. Whenever you are out with your family, you're doing something and you see that, it triggers you. It's another pull. And then it's not good. The way you release the hook is, one, forgive yourself. And then, two, forgive them. And then you can cut that hook, or you can pull it out properly. And then it's not charging you around all the place. That's not a word. It's not jugging you around. It's not pulling you. It's not hurting you. And that's the key right there. It's not saying you forgot, but it is, it's somewhere to lay a ground down. But with kids, they tend to be very forgiving. But what I was saying in the interview is, like, it's a muscle. If you don't practice the muscle, then you don't have nothing. It's from ground zero. It's soreness. It's not necessarily enjoyable, but if you practice it, it's easy. I'm sorry, man. Forgive me. And sometimes it shocks. That will shock your enemy. That will shock your enemy. If you ask for forgiveness and you don't like them, and they know that you don't like them, but you have some type of character and some integrity about yourself, that's a big thing. So I really appreciate that. I appreciate the openness. And, you know, this is something a lot of people haven't really seen in their families. It's a very mixed culture. And so if to have that apology is big, and it just does numbers. It does wonders. So I really appreciate him sharing that. The last one is, I'm a big component of family and community. So you will always see me highlight those things. And a big part of family is partnership and marriage. So, I love that he talks about his wife. I asked him a question about his wife. So, he gave me that.
God says, like, yo, you find a wife, when a man finds a wife, that's a good thing, right? Like,
yeah,
man, like, my wife has challenged me to be who I thought I was, you know, or, be who I said I wanted to be. You know, she's put me, she's asked really good questions that has left me stuck and has changed the trajectory of my life. She's challenged the position of people around me. Hey, I don't know if that's really your.
And that is so good that he was willing to share that about his wife. I love hearing people talk about their loved ones, and he did a great job, and she pushes him, motivates him. She, you know, that's a good thing about relationships is setting goals. And then the hard part is pushing each other to it or helping, guiding. You know, you don't want to force someone, but yo, you set this goal, you're not hitting it. Ouch. Ouch. But it's really good stuff. Closing that interview, I was very thankful. Go check it out. Glenn Herneri is Belief in Fatherhood. If you want to go listen to that interview and then come back and listen to this, you'll definitely be grateful for it. It was mind blowing, right? Let's talk a little bit Cleveland Browns. So my Cleveland Browns, my team, okay? I've been a Browns fan forever, okay? The Cleveland Browns are 11-5 right now. Coach Kevin Stefanski, okay? Looks like a model. You got GM Andrew Berry. Doesn't, but that's okay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a huge fan of Andrew Berry. He's a GM. He's brought talent in. People have criticized these guys for coming and going and getting Deshaun Watson. People did not like the Deshaun Watson trade, but they felt like they needed the Deshaun Watson trade. That's a weird feeling. You know, we're not going to talk about all the stuff that comes with that. But the interesting thing is people came into the season pretty optimistic. Then the second game against the Steelers, Nick Chubb kneecap exploded. That was crazy. Browns fans are like, oh, here we go. This is it. Then Deshaun Watson gets hurt later in the season. Then the rookies lose games for us. We had all these different quarterbacks. We're up to quarterback number 5 right now. Now, the crazy thing is, while the season was going bad, it started to get better. We had this unlikely hero, the couch potato himself, Joe Flacco, flopping from Ravens land all the way to Cleveland. And he does the impossible. He wins us some games, not in the ugliest fashion, but in the colorfulest fashion. And now we're in the playoffs, baby. That's so crazy. And it's with the flock. It's the flock. Okay, if you don't know that, he played for the Ravens, won a Super Bowl with them. Big deal. Super Bowl MVP. He got one of the biggest contracts I've ever seen when I was in high school. $100 million. I can't remember. This is off memory, by the way. But I remember he got that big contract and then he went and got a cheeseburger from McDonald's. And I was like, bro, everybody laughed. They were like, what? That's when you didn't have Twitter. You read the newspaper. Like I had a real newspaper and I was reading that in high school. I sound ancient. That's crazy. Feels bad. I feel bad about that. But it happened. So Joe Flacco, what an incredible season. With the Browns defense, you know, we hear a lot about the Browns defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, great coach. You know what I notice in the NFL? It doesn't matter about talent. It matters about fit and gel. If they don't gel together, if the gears don't grind the right way together, the thing's not going to move well. And that's what I noticed with the Cleveland Browns. They got rid of Joe Woods last year. And they brought in Jim Schwartz, and he compliments Kevin Stefanski's offense really well. And I don't know what, something was definitely happening behind the scenes that I'm not aware of, or the fan isn't aware of, fan base. And for whatever reason, now Jim Schwartz got the defense rolling, and they're balling. They are balling. And it's awesome. Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, they got a lot of them. They got a lot of guys on that defense. I'm excited to see. I don't know how far they're going to go into the playoffs, but wouldn't it be something? Let me do a little prediction. Wouldn't it be something if Joe Flacco somehow made it to AFC North, I don't know, AFC Championship, and the Browns knock off the Ravens? How cool would that be? Talk about you gave up on me for Lamar, which, by the way, is having an amazing season. Lamar Jackson, it's hard not to like that guy. Super talented, definitely MVP. If he doesn't win, I'm going to be like, huh? I'm definitely going to be a head scratcher. Definitely. But if Joe Flacco is able to beat the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl, what kind of crazy story? He's definitely a Hall of Famer after that. Like, how could you be upset with that? He's done the thing. The crazy thing, and I say this a lot, the interesting thing is that, or the sad thing is, the history of bad things happen to the Browns has taught fans to give up. But this is the first year that bad things happen and the Browns use it as fuel to motivate them for this Super Bowl campaign. And that's a beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing. That's what you want to cling to. It's like, look, this isn't the same old Browns. It's been a very entertaining season. I've been kind of passive on the media side. So I haven't, that's why I haven't really talked about like opinion pieces much. I've just been watching football games and walking away, because all that other stuff doesn't matter. What matters is, did you win or lose? Period. And to see the Browns win in this fashion, they look like they're having fun. It's a great experience as a fan, as well as a host and a media person. So kudos to the Browns. I hope they are able to take it to the next level. I can't wait to see where they go. And hopefully they end the season 12-5 into the playoffs. So congrats to the Browns. Congrats to them. Hooray. Okay. I want to talk about this one question, then we'll get into the juicy topic y'all really want to talk about. I know y'all want to hear my opinions. I've been getting text messages, DMs all day about it. But before we do that, I want to do the truest tone segment. This is the truest tone, which is you were trying to ease your life. You're trying to tone your life to the thing. You want to make yourself sharper. You want to get nicer tools for your tool belt. Okay. So I asked you this question. Who are the people in your life that can call you out on your mess? Whether you're the CEO, whether you're the business person, you're the manager, you're supervisor, who do you trust when their input comes in? And maybe you've heard me ask this again, but this is another one people have been saying, I don't know who I can trust when I need healthy feedback, and who can you trust, and giving those people permission and weighing what they have to say. Just don't say anything. If they come to you and they say, hey, you did not handle yourself well, you didn't conduct yourself well in this meeting, you didn't talk to that employee the right way, you didn't talk to your family the right way, I didn't like how you talked to your wife. Do you trust those people to come in and tell you those things, and then you make the correction and be thankful for that? Something that I'm learning is you teach people how to interact with you. So if someone says something you don't like and you snap at them, they're not going to want to tell you again, unless they're built different. I got people in my family, I got friends, they built different. So if you yell at them, they still going to say, you still stink. You still need a shower. That's how my family is. I don't care if you get upset. That's a very, I can't stand with you. I don't care if you get upset. just breathe. It's triggers. But all seriousness, if you have that in your life, it is critical. You don't need a lot. You just need one, which is companies pay millions of dollars to get that because they don't trust anybody in their circle. Could you imagine having 500 people under you and you go pay a consultant to come in and tell you, why is my company not doing well? Well, first of all, you don't listen to the people in your company. What are they going to go do? Hang out with the people in the company. See what they're saying. What? Oh, does he listen? Does she listen? Do they listen? Why are they not listening? And then they're going to come back to you and say, this is what your people said. This is what I see. You should probably listen to your people. Give me $100,000. That'd be a great job, by the way. I'm a consultant. If you need me to come in your company or your organization or anything, you can DM me on IG or you can email truthhomepod@gmail.com and I will give you some consulting advice. So that is the word for the truest tone. Who do you trust to give you advice when you're wrong? Okay, let's get into the topic. Okay, come tell me or erase me then. Come tell me. Come tell me the truth. If you don't like the truth, then just erase me then. No, we can't do that. We can't just erase people because they say stuff. We can't do that. We can't just get rid of people because they say things we don't like. even though we don't like that truth, even though we can't stand what's coming out of their mouth, even though we want to throw something heavy in their direction that it hits them in the face, we can't do that, people. We can't. We got to listen to what people say. Sometimes that people, those persons, that individual will come and tell you, should you erase them? Erase me then. Is it the truth? Is there some truth to it? Is there some lie? Tell the truth, shame the devil, shake the devil's tree. Like, you tell the truth and then people get kicking. I heard this quote, like, you should not answer everything that comes your way, attacks you publicly. But this man, Caddy Cadillac Williams, coming in with the luxurious car, and he says, I got some truth for y'all. I can't do I was going to do it, but I can't. And he just goes on Shannon Sharp, Shay Shay Club, Club Shay Shay, and he has an interview, and he says some wild stuff. He said some wild stuff. I'm going to give you my thoughts on it, and then we'll maybe listen to a couple clips that I liked, and then I'm going to give you a breakdown real quick. So it's very clear he's offended by other comedians that he doesn't think that are on his level. He looks at the comedic platform as a competitive entity. So whenever he gets an opportunity, he's flexing those competitive juices to let other comedians know that we are on the same level. We are not on the same level. He thinks that he's this superior comedian, which he should be if it is what you think it is. If you think comedy is NFL or NBA, you're gonna treat other people like that. If you're not on my team, you're my enemy, period. This is competitive sport type of mentality that Cat Williams has. I respect that. What I don't respect, and maybe it's just a little trash talk, you know, just like football players who say things, they kind of say it with too much poignancy, a sword, they stabbing you. Cat Williams had that towards some other comedians. But if you feel some type of way towards an individual and you know some things that other people don't know, like calling somebody, saying that they steal people's material. First of all, that's low. If it is true, I don't like that. But he has blown up the internet with this interview, and he just exposes a lot of truth. So I just want to let you guys know that he is 100% extremely funny, and the people he's talking about are funny in moments, and they have a fan base. They're also very funny. So I'm going to play one of the clips real quick.
Sitting here telling you why he ain't a movie star. He over here look like a walrus. You didn't say nothing. He can't even get his arms off his stomach sitting over here. Why I'm not a movie star. What?
It's a situation.
He never wrote anything. Remember, when Cedric the Entertainer starts, he's supposed to be singing, dancing, and telling jokes. That's why he's called the Entertainer.
Right.
We found out he can't sing, can't dance, and doesn't write jokes. He did 4 comedy specials. They're so bad, Shannon, they're not available on Netflix or Tubi. Can I say that again for the audience? They're so bad that they're not available on Netflix or Tubi.
You don't think
not that just coming for people's life. They're not available on Netflix or Tubi. Put the gun away. It's smoking. He came for some people. It's very clear he came ready, prepared, guns loaded, and he was shooting. He said a lot of stuff in that. He exposed a lot of people. He clearly doesn't like Kevin Hart. I like Kevin Hart. He's basically saying Kevin doesn't help anyone. He calls people gatekeepers, which it was. First of all, people are going to skim past. He had some very vulnerable moments. It's a long interview. It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes. Yes, I watched the whole thing. I don't just watch clips. I don't make opinions off clips. I watch the whole thing in its entirety. And look, he's an impressive individual. You know, he gave some details about comedy, but I'm not going to give you guys free nuggets. I'll give you one. He said each comedian he's watched 10 times, each one of their sets, he's watched it 10 times, and he counts how many laughs they got. And I was like, oh, okay. So he's put the work in. I don't know if it's true. He also said, He read 3,000 books a month as a kid. I'm like, okay, all right, you little legend. You're trying to become a legend. Okay, I don't know if I believe all that. $3,000 a month. I couldn't even read the back of a carton, let alone sit there trying to read 3,000 books a month. Who has the time? Did you even go to school? Did you have homework? Did your parents make you clean the house? That's all I want to know. Probably not. It's not true. Maybe it is. Maybe he's an elite level reader. We'll let him have that. But the seriousness is, how do you guys feel about that? Because I've always talked about that, even on the show. I don't like when people take other people's music and fix it or do something new. I don't like when people take people's bits, do your own thing. But then there's this other side that sometimes people are so like prideful and they think they're so talented and gifted that they can make something better. So they take that and try to make it better. He exposed Steve Harvey, allegedly, all these things that he's talking about. He's like, Steve Harvey was never homeless. That's my story. he feels jaded. It's very clear he doesn't feel respected as a comedian. And he's going after people who are respected and who have the cliche, the brand, the name. And if you're going to shoot, right, you're going to shoot up. You're not going to shoot down to people beneath you. If you're going to make noise, you're going to make noise up, right? So that's what Cat Williams is doing. And he's very impressive. He's been doing this for a while. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't come out and just do interviews. Every time he does an interview, it's a splash. It's a cannonball. It's massive. It's a tsunami. Toonami. I don't know what you. That's Cartoon Network. But if you like Cat Williams, you know this is more of what you've been getting. This is a brilliant marketing plan. If you don't understand what he's doing, I can't help you. If you just look at the drama part of it, which he's probably doing, but it's juicy. He understands people like meat. People like meat. They don't like tofu. Sorry. Like, people like animals will come for me. Put some tofu out in the wilderness. See if you get a grizzly bear. You're going to get a gnat. You ain't going to catch nothing but a gnat. You put some chicken, some steak, some rib out in the wilderness. You're going to get a big old nappy grizzly bear just ready, right? So he understands what brings people in. This is a part of his marketing. This is how he builds up for his shows. Very subtle. And he has a crazy story. He talks about him being homeless for a while. And I connected with that and I respected that. And he talked about not doing drugs, even though a lot of people think he does do drugs. I don't know. I try to take people at their word if they say it. If there's no proof, then I don't judge it. I just try to believe him. He said he doesn't. This is why he doesn't, because he met homeless people who were on drugs. They lost everything based off of a decision. It was a lot of good nuggets in that interview. So I don't know. I'm very curious to see how this ends. But the biggest thing he talks about, and I want to end the conversation on this, and that is he says he came into the game trying to be an exposer. He wanted to be an exposure, and he wanted to reveal the truth. And I watched the documentary as I was young when Cat Williams first came out. I was really young, and I sat down and watched this documentary because I really liked the art forms, the arts. And I liked Dave Chappelle, obviously. And then Cat Williams came up and he was in this car. He was like, did the show, you know, the flare that they have, the lights, camera, then they get into the car after the show and he's driving and the camera's in his face and he's talking about, he's like, you got to be good at staring. He's like, you got to watch people. You got to be smart. But usually comedians are really bleeped up, is what he said. Usually comedians are really messed up. They've had these crazy experiences, which fuels these great observations, which then in return gives these great stand-ups. You can be good at seeing things, but not good at explaining things, which is like presentation, which is a lot of the times where the difference between a writer and a presenter, Eazy-E is a perfect example. He's a great presenter, may not be a great writer, right? He's not known as this prolific rapper, but you got one hit as a rapper. That's all that matters, right? So this is awesome stuff. And I want to end it with this. Okay, I want to end it with this video and then we'll be done.
All end up with that. That's part of what you get. I came in this business saying I was going to expose. When I talked about Michael Jackson, when I talked about R. Kelly, they canceled me for these things because why would you talk about another black dude? Race is not where the line is drawn. It's God's side and the other side. And we don't care nothing about the other side. Period. Period.
Yeah, we don't care nothing about the other side. Maybe it sounds like I'm with him. First of all, I don't agree with everything he said. I don't know all the details. I know Ice Cube came out and talked about the component where he talked about Ricky Smiley. He said part of that wasn't true. He did let some actors try out different roles. It sounds like a lot of ego. I don't really care about all that, but we don't care about the other side. It's God's side and the other side, baby. Nah. great interview. You guys should check it out. It's very entertaining. Cat Williams is very funny. And I think I'm going to end the show on that. I appreciate it. This is the first show back, baby. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I'll see you guys next week. And as always, was there truth to this conversation or was it just noise? I'll let you guys decide. It's your boy Amante. We out of here. Go check me out on IG, Amante Hall, or True Tone Pod on IG, TrueTonePod@gmail.com. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.